The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport. You're listening to The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. We're smack bang in the middle of the Constellation Cup with a tie between the Silver Ferns and the Australian Diamonds, each having won one game apiece. Game 1 went to the Silver Ferns, who won 49-44, and Game 2 went to the Diamonds, who won 45-36. But with two games to go, who will take the cup? On this episode, I've been speaking to Nat Medhurst, the former Diamond who has a 17-year career in elite netball and 86 international caps to her name. She has quite the insight on the new squad, that controversial decision over the captaincy, and how Australia might be able to take out the title. Let's start from game one, shall we? So first of all, what did you make of that game itself?
First and foremost, I think the Silver Ferns would actually be quite disappointed that they didn't win by more. I think several times throughout that match they had quite a big lead, and the Aussie Diamonds were able to pull that back in the last quarter. And I think for the Aussies as well, you know, they've had so many new faces out there, and I think defensively that is where they have, I guess, some sort of stability, so to say, but it's still quite inexperienced. And you could just see through that attack line, in particular for the Aussies, that they just really struggled to have connections and to find Caitlin Bassett under the post and utilise her height. So, I think they certainly struggled in that first test with their attack line.
It's amazing looking at that and seeing the huge turnaround that they had by the second game. So what do you think was the big difference? What changed so massively?
I actually liked how they started, the Aussie Diamonds, their whole lineup across the whole board. I actually really like Courtney Bruce out at goal defence. I think she just brings another element to her game. And I think at goalkeeper as well, she can get caught up in, I guess, so to say, the theatrics sometimes, and just trying to draw contacts or looking to the umpire for freeze. Whereas when she's out there at goal defence, I think she just gets on with the job. You know, she reads the ball incredibly well when she is up and about, and the way in which she drives that ball out of attack as well is phenomenal. I think between the three of them that they had with Clough, Bruce and Weston on at wing defence as well, it's quite a big and intimidating defence line, big arms as well. I think Kate Maloney as well, starting again in that second test, just sort of seemed a lot more composed and confident with her position. And obviously the shooting end, I think Cara Cohen, obviously player of the match, and she just added a completely different element to what those defenders are used to when they are up against a Caitlin Bassett, someone who does hold. And the way in which Cara moves and particularly utilises that baseline from coming off her hold and is able to move so well, just I think really threw the Silver Fern defenders. And I guess at the end of the day, Emilianne Ekenazio was also not playing. So the Ferns had to sort of shift what they were doing in attack and struggled with that.
Very interesting analysis there. And I mean, Cara Cohen coming in, you touched on her. I think we should definitely talk about her a bit more in depth because she was outstanding, and I think the commentators also couldn't help but talk about her. So, I mean, how impressive is it for a shooter to go in their debut game and actually put out a performance as strong as she did?
It's obviously incredibly impressive, but I also think you go in, she seems very level-headed, but you don't have a lot of expectation. So you can sort of play with a bit of, I guess, freedom as well. And as I said, the Silver Fern defenders didn't really know what they were coming up against, so they haven't done her homework. I think when you look at you know, any new season, whether it's Suncorp, whether it's over there in the Super League over in the UK, when a new player comes in to the league, they always have either a great first few games or a great first season, and then the defenders start figuring them out. There becomes a bit more hype. The weight of expectation often changes as well and changes the way in which they play. But obviously it was phenomenal. She took a massive shooting load as well, which is what you want. And as I said, the beauty with her game is that she does have that versatility, and it's a credit to her. But it is going to be now this game three and game four. You know, if there is a bit more pressure, the Diamonds got out to an early lead, a lead early on, which really helps. But, yeah, the defenders, as I said, from New Zealand, they'll do their homework on her. So it's whether or not she can then stand up and deliver that same type of performance in game three and game four, should she start.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see that. And she also mentioned in her post-match interview about the competition to get that starting seven spot and just the competition generally. Obviously, we've got the Commonwealth Games and other huge competitions coming up. So how much of a factor does that play in the decisions that everyone's making at the moment?
It's quite an interesting one because Stacey Marinkovic's coach, she has a lot of fresh faces. She's got players that as well, you know, we know Greta Buetta's coming back from maternity leave, which you would expect she will go back into the side. She's obviously in the squad. Steph Wood, there's question marks around where she sits and fits. And then there's obviously some other players who are coming back from injuries as well. So there is a lot of depth across netball in Australia with players. And you want that competitiveness, but as I said, Stacey Marinkovic has a huge, I guess, task on her hand in balancing, I guess, creating some competition for positions because you need that and there is nothing wrong with that. I kind of get a bit sick of the, oh, we're a team of 12 and we're going to can throw anyone out at every single time. And I think that was Australia's undoing, to be honest, in the Com Games and the World Cup. So she needs to create, I think, a bit of competitiveness for position, which in a healthy way. But she doesn't have a lot of time either to expose players to netball at this elite level because the Commonwealth Games is just over 12 months away. Fingers crossed it goes ahead. So it is, as I said, that fine balance between building combinations but giving players the opportunity to actually prove themselves and how she's going to do that, as I said, in the lead up to will be quite interesting.
It's definitely a run up to Commonwealth Games like no other with challenges that other coaches definitely haven't faced. And I mean, talking about leadership and Stacey Marinkovic, what do you make of her coaching so far? We haven't obviously seen lots, but what do you make of what you have seen?
Well, she's very calm. She always has been. You don't, you know, see much emotion from her off the bench, and I think that can be a really great thing for the players as well, and particularly early on she seems, as I said, very calm and confident. I know from my experiences with her at Fever she's very meticulous in terms of all her planning and preparation, and I can guarantee you she's planned everything down to the Com Games and the World Cup and, you know, what her intentions are and their training programs. And I think the best thing, to be honest, is the other coaches that she's surrounded herself with. You know, you've got Michelle Dendecker, Sherelle McMahon, both former Australian captains. Michelle Dendecker has previously been with the Australian team as a coach as well and won a World Cup and a Commonwealth game. So she's got some incredible coaches around her, I think, to, I guess, help guide her as well, taking this step up onto the international stage. But as I said, the biggest thing is her being able to build the trust and relationships with her players in a climate where things, as we know, change very, very quickly and we don't know what will happen with, you know, training camps and tours and all those sorts of things. So, as I said, it's her ability to really engage and connect with her players in some possibly unusual circumstances and different ways.
You mentioned before that what you said was the undoing of the Diamonds at the Commonwealth Games in terms of the competition for spaces. What do you mean by that? Do you mind elaborating on that a bit more?
Yeah, so I think when you look back at the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup, Lisa Alexander went in with, I guess, the mindset that they were a team of 12. So if you look at the games, she was constantly changing her lineup. And I think far too much in the past. And as I said, I think it's quite a healthy way. Is you had to fight incredibly hard first and foremost to make the team, and then to make the starting seven. But irrespective of that, everyone knew their role and what it was that you were doing. And as I say, this was back certainly when I first started in 2007 when Norma Plummer was the coach. And even through that, and I found sort of the last 2 or 3 years in the Australian Diamonds is that they've just kept on constantly changing far, far too much, that there's been no stability, you know. The players who have been out there on court, particularly in those big games, when it got tough, they didn't know how to pull themselves out of it because in all the other games that had been leading up to it, they'd constantly just chop and change far, far too much. And as I said, I believe that that was a bit to do with their undoing because they just didn't have that stability. They hadn't built strong connections, particularly in those tough games where as that seven that is out there on court, you need to know that you're able to grind it out and pull yourself back out of it, rather than just being chopped and changed. As I said, I just think it was far too much previously. So I'd just like a bit more competition, healthy competition to make the starting seven, and for players to know what their role is, even if that does mean coming off the bench.
That's really interesting, actually. I see what you mean now, because when you think back, when I think back to watching some of those competitions before, you know, the most recent Commonwealth Games and Netball World Cup, they, well, like most of those matches in those dying moments, they're so, so close. So it's really, really interesting that you talk about that part where, you know, you have to really pull together and have that faith that you're actually going to be able to push it over the line. So
it was quite interesting, even, you know, the last World Cup and talking to some players around that and, you know, heading into the gold medal match, they had no idea whether or not they were starting. And I don't know too many times heading into a gold medal match where a player didn't know that they were going to be in the starting seven. You obviously get a fairly good indication through the round games and particularly the game before to make that spot. So I just found that as well for players from their mindset, as I said, to know what their job was something that was certainly missing and where they really fitted within the team and the dynamics and combinations.
That's really interesting. And, I mean, going back to this current Diamond squad, you know, a full proper decision hasn't been made about the captaincy. So what do you make of that whole chat around the leadership group and the captaincy that's happening at the moment?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I feel like there's so many dynamics and dimensions to it and I feel like I'm probably sitting on the fence with this answer. I agree. If people have heard Liz Ellis, and she said as a former Australian captain, she wants a captain named, and I completely agree with her. I think there does need to be someone there. But I think the thing is if Stacey does want to come in and I guess suss people out and, you know, whether or not she does choose to change the leadership, she needs that time and she hasn't had that. They had a few days camp following the end of the Suncorp Super Netball season. Not all the players were there. Caitlin Bassett was one of them that wasn't. So she hasn't had time as well to do things around leadership and culture and whatever it is that she wants to implement within that side. That said as well, I don't think that playing players for one-off test matches will give you any indication of whether or not they should be a good captain. And because depending on what the game is, their mindset heading in, thinking that they've got to do everything, I've got one day to prove myself that I should be captain, and it could completely self-implode. Yet long-term, they may actually be the right candidate. So, yeah, I don't think switching the players, I believe there's going to be a different one for these two on the weekend as well. So I'm not sure that is actually the right thing to be doing. But she's going to have to make a choice soon. And if she thinks she can do that by rotating captains across these four test matches, well, it'll be interesting to then know what a selection criteria is.
Definitely. It's kind of like when you go for a job interview and you're like amazing, or either like completely plummet in the interview and then it's not obviously always representative of your actual performance in a job itself. So
exactly, okay. Right. Yeah, some people can be very good at presenting but then actually horrible in real life.
Anyway, what do you think is going to happen in the upcoming matches? Do you think that we're going to see a repeat of maybe the first two games, or are they going to have learnt so much from the first two games that they're going to be entirely different? What do you reckon is going to happen?
Obviously, the Aussie Diamonds have gone over as well with quite a few players. So this comes into it, what Stacey's mindset is around what she wants to achieve. I would hope that she's wanting to win, and whether or not she thinks that the other girls that have been, I guess, not included in the 12 are capable of doing that, or whether or not her main priority is to give everyone a chance, which I don't really like, I think, handing out test caps so easily, being a former player. But as I said, I think she should go with the same 12 who have played these first two test matches and give them another opportunity of, as I said, building on those combinations, you know, giving, you know, possibly Cara another shot at starting and to see how she goes. And she does have players as well that have only played a quarter or two. I think Verity Charles was really impressive when she came on in that first test and injected a lot of drive. She gave the ball incredibly well to the shooters as well, which I think was lacking early on. So I feel like she needs to be given another opportunity. But my experience of watching Nolene, who she's a coach who I would have loved to have played under, she would certainly have those players doing their homework. She's dropped players from the squad for not meeting fitness standards. So if they're not able to adapt, I'm pretty sure she'd have a few firm words to say. So the fans will come out firing. As I said, Amelia Ann Ekenazio, you would expect that she's going to be back. She's quite a headache for the defenders. So, yeah, I think it'll be another close battle. It'll just be a matter, I think, the start that the Aussies can get. When they get a good start, they seem to fly. But if they don't, they've really struggled and probably previously as well to really then come back from that.
Yep. Totally agree. And I think you're so right with what you say about Nolene. She's such a badass. I just love all the decisions that she makes. I'm like, yes, this is so good.
She's a coach who I would have loved to have played under. And as you said, she's a bit of a badass. And you hear her on the sidelines and, yeah, she's very impressive.
Yeah. If you were ever having a moment on court where you like need, you know, that Lucozade, that energy, and she's shouting at you like, okay, that gives you the energy that you need to like keep going. What's it like for you at the moment watching the games? Is there a part of you that misses playing at that level still, or are you kind of happy now that you're able to watch it and not have to go through the rigour?
No, at the international level, absolutely I missed it. I've missed it for the last, oh gosh, what is it now, nearly 4 years. Can't believe it's been that long. It's frustrating because sometimes I watch some of the stuff that's going on out there and I'm like, just get me out there. Let me play. I'm not sure if my old body at the tender age of 37 would be able to keep up, but I think it's well known, I love playing obviously international netball, but particularly against the Silver Ferns. That rivalry was just amazing. And to be a part of so many great games was, I guess, really an honour to be a part of them, and certainly loved winning them. But, yeah, I do. I sit there and I watch and I think, oh, gosh, I wish I was out there, or can't you see this? This is what's happening. Why are you doing that? But, yeah, it's quite a strange experience, to be honest, and I'd love to be out there. There's still a massive part of me that thinks I'm capable of doing it. Obviously, people will think otherwise, but, I'm loving being a mum, and I, to be honest, considered still playing again this year, and, I mean, if anyone was desperate, I may consider it, but, yeah, it's I'm enjoying watching it as well from the sidelines, but we'll see.
Well, I'm sure I speak for many people when I say that we would absolutely love to be still seeing you, even, you know, whether you're playing domestically or internationally. But, yeah, it would still be amazing to see you play, basically.
I could be Australia's version of Casey Kapua from last year when Nolene brought her back after a couple of years away.
I love it. Let that happen. I would love to see that happen. Well, Nat, thank you so much for joining us here on the Netball Show. That was really interesting. Great to hear your insight on the games. And I'm so excited to see what's going to happen in the next two games. And I'm sure you are too. So thank you for joining us here on the Netball Show.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. That was Nat Medhurst and I'm Sasha Shipway. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to share it with a friend. And remember, we are online at The Netball Show. The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.